come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Once again, that's the sound of rock cracking. And did you ever dream? Nobody would have predicted this point in the Republican nomination. There'd be so many rocks cracking and falling all over the place. And some people say it's a disaster. The Republicans are going to kill themselves in a circular firing squad. And then Hillary waltz into the White House. But it is what it is, and this is rock splitting politics. So you've come to the right place. Tell your friends and neighbors, listen every week right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're on webtalkradio.net. That's webtalkradio.net. Hey, go on there. Newt Gingrich has a show. You can listen to some of his episodes. I don't know if he's updated any lately since the Republican nomination, but we have a new show every week on Web Talk Radio, and we're glad to have you. And this week, we're going to talk about Cruz, Kasich, Trump, where we are in this GOP race for the Republican nomination for the President of the United States. And what? There's so much to talk about. And I have to tell you, at the end of the show, now I'm going to spend a little time, Mississippi passed a religious liberty law, and it's been getting slammed by the media, by the mainstream media, but there's some in the religious world and places that we've worked with, people like Todd Starnes, who put him on every once in a while. So there's a lot to be said. People don't understand this. I'm going to try to put it in a nutshell at the end of the show. So listen for that. But before we get into all the politics, I've got to talk about last week's show. We'll do that first, and then we'll get into where we are. Let you hear this song. Well, that's AC/DC singing about dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Well, you would have thought Doc Holliday did some dirty deeds on last week's show. Do you think that? The week before, we had Phyllis Schlafly on, and she's a Trump supporter, conservative icon. If you missed that show, by all means, go back and listen to that show a couple of weeks ago with Phyllis Schlafly. And I had her on so we could discuss why I'm for Ted Cruz and she's for Donald Trump. But last week's show, I titled it, and yes, please go back and listen if you missed it, but the title was Ted Cruz Could Say, quote, "Donald, you magnificent Trumpster, I read your book," unquote. And that was going back to General Patton after he defeated the Desert Fox Rommel in the movie Patton from 1970, where George C. Scott played the legendary General George Patton, and he said something similar to that. It's a family show, so I didn't put it all on there. There's a link to the clip on YouTube if you want to go back to last week's show. But wow, I thought I'd send it to some of our friends up in New York and let some of them listen and see about the show. And I had to edit some of the stuff that came on our Rock Splitting Politics Facebook page. But you can go back and read it if you want to. Some of it, I had to take some of it off. But man, and I try, even though I am for Ted Cruz, I've said I am, I've endorsed Ted Cruz, I like to hear everyone's views, because the number one thing we got to remember is hashtag never Hillary. We got to get behind whoever wins this nomination fight, and it's a battle. But we can't lose sight of America, our country, my children, your children. That's what is at stake for the future. So remember that. And I hope all the Trumpsters, if he wins, will have this same kind of passion going against Hillary. And I hope if Cruz wins, the Trumpsters can get behind Cruz, and the Cruz people can get behind Donald Trump if he wins. But we have to have a good, fair play in this convention fight if it goes to the floor, or Donald Trump may win it with enough delegates to win the first ballot. And we're going to be talking about some of that. But last week's show, man, the emails, I got skewered by some folks. Now, I had some people pat me on the back and say, hey, I like that. The Trumpsters, I guess the foul language is what I was really wasn't expecting. And I know, and Rush has the same problem. I've listened to Rush Limbaugh, and he'll talk about how he's not getting behind any candidate. But some people will just throw him under the bus. You say something negative about who they're for, Cruz or Trump. But the Trumpsters are the ones that really have a short fuse. I know some of them believe if Trump doesn't get this nomination, America's going down the tubes. But let me remind you, America has always relied on the voice of the people. And we're going to talk about some of that. But it goes back to Samuel Adams, the father of the American Revolution. He said, when in doubt, you can always trust the people. We ought to be proud, and I am proud. Doc Holliday of Rock Splitting Politics. I'm proud that we got two outsiders battling for the Republican nomination. Kasich is still in. And yes, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just have to tell you, go back and listen to last week's show. Continue to spread it around. I've spread it to some friends up in New York, and some of it went viral, some on Facebook, I guess. And man, we got some nasty messages from the Trump folks. And I left them up there for most of you to see, as long as they were not too rude for a family viewing. But I tell you, that is where we are in the middle of a fight. And we're going to talk about that, where we are. Let's talk about it right now. And I played that song, Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. But the Colorado, in their way, the Republicans of the state did their caucus. They came together, and I think several, 60, 70,000 people, Republicans, came in to vote and get delegates. But Ted Cruz won all 34 Colorado delegates, and there were some upset people. But what we play that Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap, and that's what Donald Trump was claiming. What do you think about Ted Cruz? What was he singing? Maybe he was singing this tune from the past.
I see trees of green, see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yes, Louis Armstrong singing It's a Wonderful World. And it was for Ted Cruz after Colorado for a brief time, but the battle, if he has a chance for the nomination, it has to be from hard work, brilliant strategy, and really going after it using the rules. So many people say dirty deeds done dirt cheap, but you have to give it to Ted Cruz. He's looking at this like an attorney looking at all the details. But he didn't start this month. He started back when he announced back over a year ago. In fact, I want to play this clip, something that I had an exclusive on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I talked to George Will, the conservative columnist, and I reminded George back in the 1980 election that he said that Ronald Reagan couldn't be elected. So this is an exclusive to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics from a year ago. Take a listen to George Will speaking to me. George, on 1979, I remember reading an article you wrote when I was a young man, but about Ronald Reagan couldn't be elected president. Yep. And would you see any similarities between that and Ted Cruz today?
I think Ted has an uphill swim, but so did Ronald Reagan. I mean, Ronald Reagan, the conventional wisdom was he was unelectable and proved him wrong, so never say never, as Ronald Reagan used to say.
Well, George Will learned his lesson. He could never say never after he said Ronald Reagan would never be the nominee in 1980. And he said it was a uphill battle. But guess what? Ted Cruz is battling it out with Donald Trump. Now, Donald Trump is the front runner, and there's no doubt the good part of the campaign trail, the Northeast, is coming up for Donald Trump. The secret now for Trump is to get 1,237 delegates. And we know that Ted Cruz has got to keep him from that, and John Kasich. And this is the point I've made, that Kasich should be out and let Cruz go one-on-one with Donald Trump. But as facts may be, Kasich could help Ted Cruz here by pulling delegates out of New York. How? This is the week of New York. New York's voting Tuesday. And the way they apportion delegates is if you get over 50%, not in the whole state, but in each congressional district of New York, the Republicans, and you know in a lot of districts, especially in New York City, there may just be a handful of Republicans. Seriously, more than a handful, but not that many. And that's why Ted Cruz went into the Bronx, and everybody said he got a bad welcome there. But he is trying to work in some of those smaller places. When I say smaller, smaller for the number of Republicans there, because if they can keep Trump, him between him and Kasich, if they keep Trump below 50%, Trump won't get all three delegates in that congressional district. But this is where Ted Cruz's strategy is paying off. And I played that clip from George Will because it's been well over a year since Ted Cruz, it's been a little bit over a year since he announced his run for presidency of the United States. And the thing that impresses me of Ted Cruz is the fact that even then, as a lawyer with his intelligent mind, and if you heard Alan Dershowitz, the famous liberal Harvard professor, say that by far Ted Cruz is one of the brightest students he ever had at Harvard. And he stuck with his conservative credentials. And he had to say, even though he didn't agree with Cruz on his conservative principles, he had to say he's one of the smartest students he'd ever taught. So that's coming from a liberal. But one of the things that Ted Cruz has done is put together early on, working in states. Now, if he got knocked out back in December, or didn't do good in Iowa, and he was knocked out, all that hard work would have been for nothing. But he went out and had people on the ground, and this is where the Tea Party connections and others could help him. But he went out into all the states and learning about the delegate process. How does your state get delegates? Everything's written out. It's not that it is complicated, but it's not like anything's being hidden from any campaign. But it takes a lot of work, and you have to do it early on and to understand and get people in the processing part. You can't just wait till a couple weeks before. You got to know when the deadlines are. And that's one of the things that I guess Ted Cruz did better than anybody when you talk about deadlines. There's many. I give you an example. Some of the articles out that there were deadlines that would come up, and I know like Virginia and Indiana. Virginia's already had their primary. Indiana hasn't, but it's already past time if you want to be a delegate in Indiana. You already had to have, I think their deadline was back in April, early April, even though the primary is May 3rd. And the deadline is passed in Virginia and Arkansas. And that's where Cruz was aggressively working to see who the delegates. Now, as the vote, you're bound to, if you go whatever state, you're bound to that first vote. In many cases, not all cases, but again, that's where Cruz is working on the places where if Trump has someone has the vote on the first ballot, he's trying to get Cruz delegates. Somebody will be ready to vote for him on the second ballot. Now, is that illegal? No. Is it underhanded? No. I think it's smart politics, and you got to work. And here is Donald Trump telling the whole world that Ted Cruz doesn't have any friends in the Senate, and he does some, but he says he can't work with people, and he's running circles around Donald Trump, working with the delegates in all these different states. So don't tell me Ted Cruz cannot work with people, all right? And I don't mean to make Trump folks mad. Heavens knows, I got enough flack back on the Facebook page last week with last week's show. But please understand that Ted Cruz has been working at this all back last summer. They said that he was already looking for delegates in all different states, including the territories like Puerto Rico and the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. And Trump won that handily. I don't know if Cruz went in trying to get delegates from American Samoa and Guam and the Virgin Islands, but he had connections and people working on that early on. And why, if he did all that hard work, it wouldn't have paid off if he went into the end. But now, because he laid the foundation, he is building on that. He has a foundation to build on where Cruz has the foundation to build on, where Trump is just now putting people into place. And we saw last week where he hired Rick Wiley. Now, who's Rick Wiley? If some of our listeners, you remember, I told you I spent some time with Rick Wiley at San Diego at a meeting that was going on back in January of 2014. And then he's who Scott Walker picked to head up his presidential campaign. Now, was that a smart move? I don't know, because we know that Scott Walker didn't last too long. He's one of the first ones to get out. But and Rick Wiley, you talk about want somebody who's not part of the establishment. Rick Wiley is the establishment. He worked, helped control $178 million spent in the Romney campaign. Now, is he the best and brightest? Well, I don't see a lot of winners on his side, but he's worked the inside. He knows the people. One of the things I talked about when I was talking to him one-on-one, we're walking down a sidewalk near the water in San Diego there, and I was discussing the 2014 upcoming election between Chris McDaniels, a state senator, going against the icon of Mississippi Republicans, Thad Cochran. And Thad was set up and ready to be, if the Republicans took over, he was going to be the head of the chairman of the all-powerful Appropriations Committee. And I can tell you, Rick Wiley was all in for the establishment. he thought it was crazy to even think about running against Thad Cochran. And you can say that Rick Wiley, now Trump's one of his premier strategists, is very much the establishment. He is the establishment. So I'm a little surprised about what Trump is doing with a big establishment player. And I know he's trying to learn the game, but I know one thing that was one of the pitfalls they said about Rick Wiley and the Scott Walker campaign is he went through money fast. So maybe he won't run through Donald Trump's money too fast, maybe, or he'll run through it fast. He just have more to grab a hold of. But that's what is interesting from last week. Hey, look at it. We got to take a break here, And let me tell you in a minute, we're going to play some clips from Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and go about the polls. And then don't forget, I got a little bit to tell you about religious liberties in the state of Mississippi and what the governor has done and what he said. So let me remind you, you are listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you during this election season. Yes, we got new listeners. Some of you have never listened to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And I encourage you to go back and look at the headlines and our archive pages. Just go to the front page there of this show, and you can see our show is going back even several years now. So we're proud of what we got there. But this keeping up with this Republican nomination has been an historic event. I've never seen this in my lifetime. And for you who don't know, I am a dentist. I do practice dentistry, and I do this radio show, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. But I had a patient in my chair. She's 90 years old. And another patient, he is 88. But I asked both of them, hey, have you ever seen anything like this presidential race in your lifetime? Both of them said, no, absolutely. They've never seen anything like this. So it is an historic race, and we're following it. And you can go back and see how we followed it up till this show. And we encourage you to do that. And I want to also encourage our listeners. One thing keeps us on the air is we got a book out, and it's called Bedrock Truths. It's for conservatives to understand and for all Americans. And it's not written by just me. It's also by the niece of Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Alveda King, and also Dr. Alex McFarland, who's a great, well-known apologetic minister, evangelist. But we wanted to look at some of the principles that America needs now. We need to hold on and grasp these principles like we never have before. It's called Bedrock Truths, 8 Uncompromising Principles for America Now. You can get your copy. Click on the front cover of that on the front page. We appreciate that. And tell your friends and neighbors about the book. And if you do use the Amazon card, yes, you can go to Amazon and look it up. Bedrock Truths by Dr. Ed Holliday, Dr. Alveda King, Dr. Alex McFarland. Now listen, we got to play a clip here of Donald Trump. He's upset after what happened in Colorado and other things. He's upset. And I've told you, Ted Cruz has laid out detailed plans over a year ago, and he knows the rules of every, and every state has different rules how to get delegates. But here's Donald Trump, and he's not a happy camper.
Our Republican system is absolutely rigged. It's a phony deal. Now, what do I know? I started running like 9 months ago. Who would have thought I would have been in first place? What do I know? Right? What do I know? But I'm in first place by a lot. Millions and millions of votes. That doesn't count. You notice? Nobody even talks about votes. I have millions of votes more. But I also have hundreds of delegates more, but that's not the same thing to me. I think the vote is the thing that you count, right? The vote.
And a vote does count. But since a decade, hundreds of years, ever since the Republican Party was formed, and in the 1850s, there's always been a convention to pick the presidential nominee. And it is true that there's been more voting in the last few decades. But when Donald Trump says he has millions more votes, you also got to look at some of the places that do caucuses. And then there's not everybody voting. There's always Republicans coming in to vote, but in different ways. So there is something to Donald Trump, what he said. It's important for the voters to come out and register who they're for. But there's also the party machinery that does not necessarily have to be inside party establishment. Ted Cruz is proof of that. We know the establishment hates Ted Cruz, but he's read the rule book, and he is getting delegates from the rule book and knowing how to present his campaign in the different states. How do you present a campaign? Well, he went to Colorado, and this is what he had to say when he's speaking to the state convention in Colorado. Take a listen to Ted Cruz last week.
God bless the great state of Colorado. What a blessing to be with so many incredible lovers of liberty, so many freedom fighters. What a blessing to be with my good friend, our Colorado State Chairman, Congressman Ken Buck. I am so grateful to be with you today. You know, you can learn a lot about the history of a word by looking at its roots. If you look at the roots of the word politics, there are two parts. Poly, meaning many, and ticks, meaning blood-sucking parasites. And that is a fairly accurate description of Washington, D.C. But we're here today for something a lot more important than politics. We're here today because our country is in crisis. Because we're bankrupting our kids and grandkids. Because our constitutional rights are under assault, and because America has receded from leadership in the world.
So yes, Ted Cruz was having fun, and he should, because New York and the Northeast is not going to really be his places. It doesn't look like talking about poll numbers. So let's look at the poll numbers. Well, in New York, some of the latest polls are all showing Donald Trump with 55-50, most of them are over 50% in New York. Of course, that's the home state of Donald Trump. And even though there's a lot of protesters on the liberal side against Trump, it seems like most people in the Republican Party of New York want Donald Trump. He knows many of them. And it looks like he's going to do well there this week. We'll have to wait and see. But I do want to say that the polls are leaning highly toward Trump. And I just told you that if he gets over 50% in individual congressional districts, he gets all three delegates from each district, which gets up to 92 delegates, I believe. But where else the poll numbers look? Well, over in these are from the Real Clear Politics averages. You know, this is where you can get things like in Maryland. Trump's ahead there, 40, Kasich 25, Cruz 23. So jockeying around, can they get by Trump? We don't know. We'll have to see. California, now that's the very end, the last state to really have a primary, and it could decide who is going to be the Republican nominee, and it's a little tighter there. You got Trump at 38, Cruz 31, Kasich 15. Pennsylvania coming up week after New York, and Trump 42, Cruz 27, Kasich 24. Could tighten up there. We don't know. And that's why it's exciting going through this election season. No, very few times is it undecided this late in the game. And a lot of these states, every state's important. And that's why Cruz getting delegates in Colorado was so important to his campaign. And that is what we're watching right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I just have to tell you that we are zeroing in on some things that you won't hear on everybody else's show. This is Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we try to zero in some things that you're not going to hear everywhere else. And I wish we had more time, but we're running out. And right now, let me tell you, next week we got some of the clips when we talk to our exclusive interview with Phyllis Schlafly, and she's been to every Republican convention since 1952. We asked her some about the convention she could remember and some of the what she saw there, and we're going to play some of that next week for next week's show, so be sure to listen to that. And now, before I close out, let me tell you, this show, we come from Tupelo, Mississippi. This is where my home is, and this is where we do our radio show right here for Web Talk Radio. And I have to tell you that there was a lot of meltdown when there's a religious liberty law that was signed into being by Governor Phil Bryant, the governor of Mississippi. And it was right after some similar laws, the bathroom bill, trying to let anybody go to a bathroom in North Carolina. It was signed by the governor, and then all of a sudden you had people like Bruce Springsteen. He believes men should be able to go into a bathroom where my little girl or his little girl or anybody's little girls are. I don't think it's a good idea, folks. But North Carolina's taken a lot of heat from that. But Mississippi really got a lot of heat. And basically the law is like this. It protects the rights that are given by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And everybody will say all this stuff, but it boils down to this. Basically, it's talking about weddings. And if you're in the state of Mississippi and your business, if you believe sincerely religious beliefs that you shouldn't participate in a same-sex marriage, then the law protects you. All right? I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not all across the board. It's those who have sincerely religious beliefs in the wedding field, as far as having a wedding for same-sex couples. And we know many people have lost their jobs, and we've heard different ones talk about that, and we've talked about it on this show. Why should somebody lose their job? Why should somebody get fined $130,000 for refusing to make a wedding cake? Why? You know, if they believe that, and I put it simply like this. In the Bible, there's a story about Nebuchadnezzar, the ruler of Babylon. He built a statue, and people saw a statue of himself, but then got the feeling pretty cocky, and he said, okay, not only do I want them to see it, I want them to bow down and worship my statue. And that's how I see it. Now, the Supreme Court has made same-sex marriage a law of the land. And I didn't necessarily agree with that, but it is the law. So now, when someone feels that it's a worship service, you're asking someone who believes that marriage should be between one man and one woman, if you force them to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony, it's tantamount to making them bow down and worship a false god. So that's what the bill of Mississippi does. It's very simple. And check with Governor Phil Bryant if you need to know more about it, because you can go to his website and he'll explain. It's very simple, and it's not something everybody ought to get all in uproar about. So that's Doc Holliday's take on this week's Rock Splitting Politics. Email us, check us out on Facebook. We'll be glad to, because we can't get everything on in a 30-minute show, so we don't put a lot on there. Don't want to overdo everybody's time, but I try to get some of the important stories and out on the Facebook page. So check it out, Rock Splitting Politics on Facebook. And next week, we'll have a little more Phyllis Schlafly, and I guarantee you we have a lot more about Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Donald Trump as they jockey for position and trying to be the nominee for the Republican Party in the 2016 election for the presidency of the United States. You're going to hear things here on Rock Splitting Politics you won't hear anywhere else. See you next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.